Happy Independence Day. Amen. July 4th. Who is anybody thankful for freedom? I'm telling you. Woo! Just like Braveheart with his sword. Freedom! You know? You just feel like riding across the troops, rallying the troops of the spirit. Because how many know we don't fight against flesh and blood? Remember this. I think this is important in the day we live in. Those people, you fill in the blank for it. I'm not going to fill it in for you. Those people that we like to point our fingers at and blame, they're not the problem. They're really not the problem. Lord, have mercy, right? Such was I. Such were you, but for the grace of God. But last night, or this morning, I woke up with this one verse, this one phrase in my heart. And I got up, I opened my Bible to find exactly where it was. I had a good idea that was in Galatians. And it was this verse. It is for freedom, Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom. Everybody say freedom.
Freedom.
Come on, say it like you mean it.
Freedom!
It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. This is an exhortation to the church. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. By all estimations, I think about 60 years ago, somewhere in the 1960s, this demonic lie crept into our culture about this word that we're talking about, freedom. And the lie was, well, you know what American freedom means? It means that I'm free to do whatever I want to. Now, I'm preaching to the choir this morning, but how many know that's not freedom at all? In fact, Paul directs, I'm not going to take the time to go there, but if you read Romans 6, chapter 6, 7, and 8, he directly refutes that lie. He's like, you're free, but don't use your freedom as a license to sin, because that only makes you a slave again. And you see, guys, in the 245th anniversary of our independence as a nation, what our founders did realize, with a plethora of mistakes, right? They were human beings with mistakes just like we are. But what they realized is that there's a biblical definition of freedom. And what that biblical definition is Christ has set us free that we're no longer a slave to sin, but we are a son. And because of that sonship, we are free to live a life devoted and committed to him. And what that looks like when it comes to economics, to all of culture and society, is a society that is born out of a place of beauty and prosperity, because how many know that God's way is the best way? I often tell my kids, I was like, I know the deception. The trick that the devil always plays on young people is that God's out there to ruin your fun, right? How many people remember thinking that? It's like, man, you know, especially when you're young. I mean, when you're older too, but when you're young, you just feel like, man, I'm going to do this. I want to do whatever I want. I want to party. I want to do this. I want to sleep around, whatever. And then you get a little bit of maturity on you and you realize, wait a second, God's the most fun person in the history of the universe. He actually didn't give his rules, or however you might see them, as a restriction. He gave them as a way for us to have the best, most beautiful, most contented life ever. And that on the 4th of July is what freedom really looks like. Because, you know, before we're born again, we're not free at all. We're out there doing whatever our sinful nature desires. And how did that work out for you? I don't know about you, but it didn't work out very well for me. In fact, the more I just followed my urges, just did whatever feels good, just do whatever pleases me, guess what happened? I sunk deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into a pit of despair. Until finally the light of Christ shined on me and truly set me free. Guys, I believe our nation is hungry for that message. They are crying out, will somebody tell me how I can be free? Will somebody, does anybody know out there what freedom looks like? Because I found when Christ came in and I was made a new creation, I got a spiritual heart transplant, didn't you? Does anybody remember what that felt like? It's like the way I describe it to non-believers or brand new believers is sometimes young Christians go, well, how do you know if you're saved, right? Or how do you know if you've been born again? I think, well, that's easy. Before I got saved, like Anna Grace said, I was raised in church, but I wasn't born again yet. So you know what that led to? It led to Matthew trying to be a good little boy to try not to make his mama cry, right? I get the case of the do-betters. I do the best I can, and guess what would happen? I'd fail every stinking time. The cycle would repeat itself on and on and on until finally that first year of college when, you know, you get your freedom. You're finally out from mom and dad's house and their rules. I decided to forget this Christian stuff. I'm just going to go do what I want to do. Well, I've already told you where that led me. That you can see that from a million miles away. That didn't lend to freedom. So I tell you, I was like, oh, it's easy. How do you know you're saved? Well, in that condition, I tried to be good, but my nature wasn't good. I didn't want to do things that please God. Flip the script. When I got a heart transplant, suddenly it was the exact opposite. Suddenly, everything in me wanted to do right. Everything in me wanted to worship. Everything in me wanted to please God. Everything in me wanted to pursue righteousness and holiness, right? Did I do it right every time? No. You know how it is. You're just like a baby learning how to walk. I'd keep falling down, but the grace of God would pick me up. I'd keep stumbling, but the Lord would be faithful to make me mature in Him. From glory to glory, right? On the 4th of July, this is the message. That's what freedom is. Let freedom reign in our land, and let freedom reign starting with our hearts. May we always remember that this is the freedom that Christ, there is no freedom apart from Christ. Have you noticed how in the past we've tried to nation build around the world? In all of these civilizations that don't have Christ, how's that worked out for them? It doesn't work out very good. There is no freedom really apart from Christ. There's this counterfeit freedom that sort of looks like freedom, but it's not. The only freedom is found in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Isn't that wonderful? It's the gospel. It's the good news. So for the rest of us in the church, born again for years and years, stand firm. Everybody say stand firm.
Stand firm.
What does that look like? Stand firm, committed to the freedom that only Jesus could give to you. Stand firm then, and do not let, everybody say let. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. The devil would like nothing more than to get God's people to let him get you back into some sort of servitude, some sort of stronghold. Is that not true? Come on now, y'all. Be honest with me. He would like nothing more because, see, the only power Satan has over you as a Christian is only what you give him. He can't touch you otherwise. He's got to get your permission. He's got to get your agreement, right? The power of agreement goes both ways. We know the power of it biblically. I think Jeremy and Anna Grace spoke of it. But the power of agreement in darkness, it works even as a Christian. We can submit ourselves to the kingdom of darkness and a little by little become somewhat in bondage again to that for which we had already been set free. Do business with God this morning. Ask Him deep in your heart. Say, Lord, is there any area of my life where unknowingly or knowingly I've given away some aspect of freedom? Because see, we can only give away what we have. And if we're going to give the world that I said, as I said, is so longing for freedom, if we're going to be able to give it to them, we got to be the freest people on the planet, right? Isn't that true? And that's what we are. We are. Let's continue to walk in that. Let His grace and His glory. Sarah, come on up here. I want her to share a little bit of this, another scripture from Galatians that she got from the Lord too, and then we'll close. Let this grace carry you right now. Let it carry you. Please don't take any condemnation. If what I'm saying about, hey, we can give the devil permission and agreement, and so then he's going to come and just start beating you over the head with his condemnation, that's not what we're talking about. Don't do that, because remember what Paul said in Romans 6, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Now, you can be honest with God and say, Lord, yeah, I've sinned, or I've given back into something. I'm going to step right into your freedom. By your blood, we took communion this morning. He's made you free. All right, it's just as simple as that. Renounce it, repent, and let's go from glory to glory, church. Let's keep moving forward in this freedom. Amen?
Yeah, so what I just want to kind of whet your appetite, I feel the Lord wanting to give out honey over the weeks to come. It's like, taste and see that the Lord is good. He's wanting us to taste of the goodness of the Lord. He's given each one of you in your lives, it's like He's built inside of you that honey pot, you know, which is your story, the anointing of the Lord on your life, which can be like honey that you can give to those that are around you. And I realize that more and more that's that taste and see that the Lord is good. He tastes like honey in the rock. You know, you realize honey is the sweetest thing naturally, you know, that God made. And you see that He says, going into the promised land was the promised land of milk and honey, you know. And I just feel like there are so many people in the world, ourselves even, who need to taste of the honey. And I just see the Lord right now, like, handing out honey. You know, and I even feel like the Lord wants us, the grace of God is like honey on our lips. Yeah. The grace of God covering the things we say and the way we speak to one another. And that we would allow the honey of the fruit of the things, the freedom that God has set inside of us, that we would be able to, it's almost like from that well that He's building in each one of you in your lives, day in and day out. It's like you can come, and almost like when the woman at the well, and it was like the water, the living water that He was able to give. I just see it like that, as like this honey that people are needing in the midst of their hard things, that honey that you're able to give out to them is going to bring this like renewal of their bodies and their minds and their souls. And this is one of those things, this the grace of God and the freedom. And when I got my old Bible out, okay, I'm just going to show y'all this for a minute. This is the Bible that I got when I was in a teenager. So I have other Bibles, but you know, you go through, the one that I have now is literally falling apart. And I love it too. But I just love that, like, I have this little card for freedom that I got somewhere. The Lord spoke it in my teenager years, or probably in YWAM or something. I just stuck it in this Bible. And I realized that I went through a time in my life where Galatians 5, it and freedom, it started to ring in my heart, where I knew, like, you know how people talk about, this doesn't bother me though, because I love when something falls out and it reminds me of something the Lord has spoken to me. But when when we were talking this week and I was seeing this for freedom, I was starting to see this thing that the Lord, you know, you just start to be reminded. I feel like the Lord wants to remind us of things He's written on our hearts. And it's like, look, you need to stir up that's in you. In order to stand firm in the freedom that God's given us, in order for us to grab hold of the inheritance, we need our faith stirred up. Yeah. You know, it's been by grace we have been saved through faith in order to believe. And I love how I was hearing Becky say the other day, she was talking about, you know how in Hebrews 11, where it talks about the hall of faith, we always sometimes think of it as like the hall of faith being those that like name it and claim it kind of things. Like you just, your faith, you just believe it, you see it, you know. But she was saying how a lot of times when you read through that Hebrews 11, you see that a lot of them, faith looked like persevering.
Yeah.
Persevering, you know, is standing firm, you know. And I realized that the grace of God enables us to be able to grab hold of, by faith, that God's saying.
Yeah.
The grace of God comes in, and we're able to see what the Lord is wanting to, and then we're able to say, okay, Lord, give me faith to believe, to stand, to persevere. You know, and this is just one of those things that I realize the Lord has put in me personally, but I believe that it's been put in me because it is something that is really on the heart of the Father for many, you know, for all of us, for all his children, is that we would know, like Matthew, I was telling Matthew, you know how you shared he talked last week about being sons and knowing what it is to have that inheritance, sons and daughters. Well, this just follows really great because he's saying it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And I was just saying, that's the opposite. We don't want to act like slaves. We're sons and daughters.
Yeah.
And what have we been given because we're sons and we're daughters? We've been given this grace, this amazing grace that enables us to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh.
Right.
To walk in a place that is by faith, believing that who Christ is, he lives in me. He lives in you. And by faith, it's really that Jesus was doing all that was for our joy. It really was for our joy. And when we can grab hold of that, when I realized in my life that it was not about a list of rules, but it was about a relationship.
Yeah.
And that really Jesus came and he died to get us back to the garden, to restore us back to that relationship with the Father, that in the cool of the day, you're walking with him. We're communing with him. You know, that's what we've been created. That's the freedom. That's the freedom. That's that by his grace, that in grace is not that license for just to do whatever, but it's the empowerment.
Yes.
It is the literal power in our lives to be able to do what it is he's called us to do, to really live our life laid down for him, to totally be able to give it all to him. We can't do that of ourselves, right? But it's by his grace that we can yield to the Holy Spirit inside of us. And that was where I was wanting to read in on down in Galatians 5:16. It's what it is to live by the Spirit. Okay, and so what it is to live, well, back up before that, in verse 13, it said, "Beloved ones, God has called us to live a life of freedom, but don't view this wonderful," sorry, I'm probably in the wrong version, but from that, but I'm just going to read it in the Passion Translation for just a minute. But "Beloved ones, God has called us to live a life of freedom. But don't view this wonderful freedom as an excuse to set up a base of operations in the natural realm. Constantly love each other and be committed to serve one another. For all the law can be summed in one great statement. Demonstrate love to your neighbor, even as you care for and love yourself. But if you continue to criticize and come against each other over minor issues, you're acting like wild beasts trying to destroy one another. Let me emphasize this. As you yield to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self-life.
Yeah.
When your self life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit, you hinder him from living free within you. And the Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinder your self life from dominating you. So then, the two incompatible and conflicting forces within you are your self life and flesh, and the new creation life of the Holy Spirit. But when you yield to the life of the Spirit, you will no longer be living under the law, but soaring above it.
Yeah. Amen.
The behavior of self-life is obvious. Sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God, manipulating others, hatred of those who get in your way, senseless arguments, resentment with others when others are favored, temper tantrums, angry quarrels, only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinions, being envious of the blessings of others, murder, uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and other similar behaviors. Haven't I already warned you that those who use their freedom for these things will not inherit the kingdom realm of God? But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. Joy that overflows. Peace that subdues. Patience that endures. Kindness in action. A life full of virtue. Faith that prevails. Gentleness of heart and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. They're meant to be limitless. Keep in mind that we belong to Jesus Christ, that we who belong to Jesus Christ have already experienced crucifixion. For everything connected with our self-life has been put to death on the cross and crucified with Messiah. If the Spirit is the source of our life, we must also allow the Spirit to direct every aspect of our lives. So may we never be arrogant or look down on another, for each of us is an original. We must forsake all jealousy and diminish anything that diminishes the value of others. And I just want to say that I just feel like the Lord is just wants to remind us of the fruits of the Spirit. He wants us to remind us of who He is in us, and that we would just, by His grace, remember that it's by His grace, and that we would say, Lord, we're asking You by Your grace that You would come live Your life through us. You know, it's not a list of rules. It's not because it, but it's for our joy that You want these things for us, you know. And through that relationship, I want you to be asking the Lord, Lord, remind me of the things that You've written on my heart. Remind me of the things that You've done in my life. And let the Holy Spirit within me pour out like a honey pot.
Amen.
Let the honey of what God's goodness. I just want you to just think about that. Think about when you're walking throughout your day and whatever you're doing, and Lord, have mercy, me too. I'm doing this too. When you're going throughout your day, just think about, Lord, it tastes like honey in the rock.
Yeah.
What is the honey that You want to flow today? What is Your goodness that You want to flow? And believe me, people are going to come to You, and they're going to look at You, and they're going to see something different. They're going to see a light in your eyes. They're not going to see a heaviness. Because when you allow the joy of the Lord, when you allow the Holy Spirit to come, He lifts off those heavy burdens. He lifts off that heaviness. The world needs the light inside of you. The world needs the joy inside of you. The world needs the peace of God that passes understanding to speak peace into other people. They need that. We need it. We need it one another, right? We need to be allowing the honey of the word, the good things of God, to be dripping on one another, not tearing each other down.
Yeah.
We need to be able to release those prophecies, like Anna Grace was saying, that are encouraging, that are edifying, that are lifting one another up, And I just want to encourage you to be looking for the honey of the Lord, what he has for you to taste and see of his goodness. And I'm excited because I feel like we're on an adventure together. We're gonna taste some honey of the Holy Spirit this year.
Yeah, and this morning in prayer, I was asking Jesus, like, what's the daily bread this morning? You know, what word? And he just said, get ready. He said, and tell my church to get ready. And then T got up here in the during worship and said, was talking about the Lord saying, it's time to prepare. He's preparing. So I feel like this word about freedom and the honey and all these and the kingdom authority that Jeremy preached is that's what this is all about. Get ready, guys. You got your seatbelts buckled? I mean, get ready. We're getting ready to go on one of the wildest rides that probably any of us have ever seen. Do you believe that? I do. I really believe. Take off your preconceived notions of what it's going to look like. You know, who's going to be used, who's not. I don't know. All I know is it's going to be God and it's going to be good. And it's going to be something that the Lord has really been preparing us for all this time, really, you know.
So I just felt like the Lord just spoke to me. That honey is the spirit of truth.
Yeah.
It really is the spirit of truth. And we need that more than ever. And that's what actually Galatians 5:1 in the Passion Translation says. At last, we have freedom, for Christ has set us free. We must always cherish the truth and firmly refuse to go back into the bondage of our past.
Amen.
And so I believe that that's what the Lord, that's that honey, the spirit of truth. Which is good.
Yeah.
It really is good. It's going to taste like honey. So.
Yeah. Amen.
The on the Liberty Bell, there's a scripture inscribed. Anybody know what it says?
Mm-mm.
It says, a proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. And they inscribe that on there. Because, again, of what we're talking about here, that they had realized what liberty was all about, all right, and have that put on a Liberty Bell. And I was thinking about the fact that, you know, we hear a lot of the negative or see a lot of the negative going on and hear about it in the media. But, you know, there's a huge amount of positive going on.
Yeah, that's right.
And one of the things that happened, I don't know if anybody knows who Mario Murillo is, but he's out in California having these gigantic tent meetings with about 2,000 or 3,000 various pastors helping to reach California for Jesus.
Come on.
You know, that's the left, we call it the left coast.
Yeah.
Where all of the bad quotes, all the bad stuff and the negatives happening.
Yeah.
But you know what's happening there is that what happens in California seems to spread across the nation.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. And I was thinking about two things. One is Dallas Jenkins and The Chosen as a producer.
Yeah.
And then I was also thinking of Kevin Sorbo, who's doing all of these great movies. In other words, I see Hollywood being affected by this,
right. Yes.
And the media,
yes.
All the media is there too, all of them.
Yes.
And so, you know, we're going to see a great revival in the culture as well.
Amen.
All right? Because of what's happening.
Amen.
They're proclaiming liberty throughout
the world. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. So let's keep our eyes on the kingdom.
Yeah.
Amen. Let's keep our eyes on the kingdom, because like that parable that Jesus told, it filters down. You seek the kingdom and media is impacted. Government is impacted. Education is impacted. Seek first the kingdom and all these things will be affected. Amen?
Amen.
And as Dad was talking, I was remembering what Bob Jones and Larry Randolph, some of these prophets were saying about, gosh, probably 10, 15 years ago now, they said, you know, the Bible shares that really the picture of the last days are like what Charles Dickens wrote about in The Tale of Two Cities. It was the best of times and it was the worst of times. I might have that backwards, but you get the point. It was the best of times
And it was the worst of times. So let me ask you, which one are you going to focus on?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the truth. It's easy to find dirt. Even in a gold mine, guess what? Dirt is the most prevalent thing. In a gold mine, dirt is the most prevalent thing. But can you find the gold? It's there. He just gave perfect example. God is on the move. He's doing things. And that kingdom is only going to continue to rise. And as it gets darker and darker in some aspects of culture, the light of Christ is going to shine brighter and brighter. Amen. You guys stand with me. Let's just pray right now. And I felt like this element of the living room in here this morning. Did anybody else sense that? I felt that even during worship. I was like, this is kind of like living room worship. And Priscilla, don't worry about the kid running around. I just felt at home. You know, I mean, I got six kids. So it was just like, oh yeah, this is just like home. This feels like home. Poor parents and grandparents. It might drive you crazy. You feel embarrassed, but don't. Don't, okay? It's okay, really. It's okay because, see, that little boy, he's getting prophesied over. He was receiving something without even maybe being conscious of it. Because he's just playing, you know? Like, the Lord is on the move. He's doing something here in this organic thing of the Father's living room.
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful? So let's just receive, amen? Amen. Just put your hands up. Lord, we just thank you today.
Thank you.
For the words from heaven, for our daily bread,
yeah.
For the freedom of Christ that has set us free and will continue to set us free. We thank you for the healing that is our, you said it's the children's bread. Lord, we thank you for the healing that's flowing. Lord, even if it hasn't manifested yet, we thank you that it is right now. We declare and agree with it. Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you for all the prayers.
Yeah.
God, thank you for the women like Taniqua, Lord, and Bridget. And Jasmine and Elizabeth, Lord, who have chosen life. You are answering our prayers, Father. And we just thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
For you are mighty to save, God.
Thank you,
in Chapel Hill and Durham. And this region, God. And Lord, we thank you on the 4th of July, that 245 years ago, you gave us freedom.
Yes.
Lord, you made us an independent and free nation. And Papa, we humbly ask, would you preserve our freedom?
Yes.
God, would you preserve our freedom? God, would you destroy the strongholds that come against freedom, Lord, of tyranny and slavery, Lord? Would you destroy those strongholds, God, and silence those voices? And like the psalmist prayed, God, Lord, shut the mouths of my enemy and let God arise in our midst. Let his kingdom be exalted, Lord, not so that we can brag, but Lord, so that the world might know that there is a Father in heaven that loves them, that Jesus paid the price, that you also can be free. And that's our prayer today on the 4th of July, God. We bless you and thank you. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful celebration with your family, your friends. We love you. Thanks for being here today. God bless.